Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. Today, Grant Kreger is sharing a sermon titled, The Golden Calf. If you would like to know more about North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us at our website, nvcmd.org.
North Valley Church, as we shuffle things around, we get ourselves together. It's so good to see all of you and all the small people that are here with us this morning. If you are new to North Valley Church, or it's your first time here, this isn't a standard Sunday, although all these people are a standard Sunday. We do have an amazing kids ministry that meets downstairs on the weekly. This is my daughter and my wife. We eagerly await Family Sundays. Monthly, for when the kids join us in a service up here, where we can have church together as a church family, where the kids get to be a part of what we're doing, where we get to kind of spin things upside down. Pastor Dan and I, we like to shift things around on a family Sunday, and sometimes teach different kind of things, or do different kind of music, or shift things in different kind of ways. And so today is a Sunday of shift, a Sunday of togetherness and family, a Sunday of send off. And an exciting Sunday for all of us. And so we're so glad you're here with us this morning. And today, I want to introduce our message. And so the kids downstairs have been, over the past, I don't know, handful of months, have been working towards, through the book of Exodus, towards today's message. And the message we're actually going to go through today, and the scripture we're going to go through today, are actually from their lesson. And so as a part of that, what they do is they watch a lesson video. And then they get to sit down and kind of discuss what happened in the message. We are going to do the identical thing today. You are going to get to see a kid's message video the way they see it. We're going to experience it the way they experience it. And I'm going to shake things up and talk to you like you're a bunch of children. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But we're going to kind of break it out into adult lingo. We're going to kind of break it out to let it to apply to us today as adults. But we're also going to allow it to be applied to the kids today as well. And so today's message is about the golden calf. The golden calf. And I'm not talking like, you know, Chick-fil-A's arch nemesis. I'm not talking like big shiny thing. We're talking like the golden calf from Moses. It's Moses' time in the book of Exodus, where the Israelites were looking for something to help them as they impatiently waited for what Moses and God were working out, what God was working out through Moses. And so over leading up to this, the kids got to hear a little bit about the Ten Commandments last week. And the only reason I know about it, because I was downstairs working with them, right? They got to hear a little bit about Moses going up on the mountain, speaking to God, hearing from God directly, hearing some of the things that God wanted his people to do specifically. And so we're going to kind of pick up from that kind of that picture there. We're going to kind of pick up from Moses on the mountain top with God, working out the Ten Commandments, and we're going to kind of get a different perspective of what was going on with the Israelites on the bottom of the mountain. So we're going to watch this video.
Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. While God met with Moses, the Israelites at the bottom of the mountain were getting impatient. They began to wonder, where is Moses? What has taken him so long? Is he still alive? The Israelites went to Moses' brother, Aaron. Make us a god to lead us, they said. We don't know what happened to Moses. So Aaron collected gold from the people and made a statue of a calf that they could worship. God saw what the people were doing and he was angry. I will destroy these people, God said. Moses said, remember the great promise you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You promised to give them as many offspring as there are stars in the sky. You promised to bless them and give them land. So God did not destroy them. Moses went down from the mountain carrying two stone tablets on which God had written the laws. Moses got closer to the camp and saw that the people were dancing before the golden calf. So he threw down the stone tablets, smashing them at the bottom of the mountain. Then he destroyed the golden calf. The next day, Moses went back up the mountain to talk to God. "These people have sinned against you," he said. "Please forgive their sin." God told Moses to return to the people and lead them. "When the time comes, I will punish them for their sin," God said. God sent a terrible sickness to the people because they worshiped the golden calf. God continued to meet with Moses and give him laws and instructions. One morning, Moses went up the mountain to meet with God. God came down in a cloud and he said, "The Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, but he will not leave the guilty unpunished." Moses bowed down and worshiped God. "Lord, please go with us," he said. "Forgive our sin and accept us as your people." Moses acted as the people's mediator, standing for them before God. Moses could not do anything to make up for their sin, but we have a better mediator, Jesus. Jesus paid for our sin on the cross and stands for us before God. When we trust in Jesus, our sins are forgiven.
How about that for a message? Right? I can't compete with that. I can dance around as much as I want, but the explosions, the effects, the green face, I mean, come on. It's pretty cool. And so that's what our little ladies and guys get to listen to, get to learn from, along with some amazing teachers that volunteer and serve downstairs in kids' ministry. If you're looking for somewhere to serve in North Valley or be a part of something, our kids' ministry is the bomb. The people at Run are even better, and the kids are wonderful. They're little angels. They're great. Most of the time. Okay, so the golden calf. We get a little bit of a snapshot. Mary, oh, bags. Petey's, see? Petey's not even up here, and he's helping me out. This is the wonderful time where we get to give some distracting things to the small humans so that I get a chance to try to focus while I speak. So, if you are a part of or in the age groups of our kids' ministry, please join us in the front. Grab yourself a bag. All right. Thank you, Miss Mary. And thank you, youth group helpers. Okay. Now we've got our distraction bags. And we'll see if we can work this out. So, the golden calf. We got a small glimpse of what was going on with Moses and the Israelites in that time. And it's kind of amazing that when you know the story and you know the backstory, you know that the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, that Moses was brought up, that he helped bring them, maybe with a little bit of anger problems, bring them out of Egypt by God's grace, that God took care of the Israelites through the desert, that he fed them. When they were hungry, he gave them manna, he protected them, he fought the enemies, he promised them a place where they would be able to settle and live together as his people forever. After all of those things, Moses was on top of the mountain talking to God, and the Israelites slipped up. After all of that, and so, like, I don't know, for me, reading the Bible, reading the story, going, like, what were they thinking? Like, how silly can you be, right? What, you got to be missing something. You know what's going on, right? We know where Moses went. This is crazy. You know how God's taking care of his people. This is just insane. They give it up all while Moses is up there working with God himself and getting us the Ten Commandments. How crazy is that? And it's kind of wild because in that moment, in those thought process, in reading that and what's going through me and going like, how dare you Israelites, I completely forget that I'm equally as bad. That God can be doing all these amazing things around me, and sometimes I have like these crazy blinders on that just completely block everything that's going around. God could be speaking to me. He could be standing in my face. He could have the pillar of fire saying, go here. And I look at it and go, but this looks fun over here. Well, I'm kind of moving this way in my own plan. I'm kind of doing this thing myself. Like, I don't quite see that giant pillar. I don't see that huge billboard pointing here. I don't hear the word saying, like, hey, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do next. And so it's easy for me to look at the Israelites and judge them and look at them and go, like, oh, shame on you, Israelites. You had everything. I mean, everything. What are you guys doing? That you're crazy. right? It's easier for me to look at them and do that, but really, in our lives, in our same, in the same life in which we live, we do the exact same thing. And so today, we're going to kind of take a look at the Israelites and a look at how that works in our world. We're going to take a look at what the Israelites did and where they slipped up and how that affects us. And so we're going to kind of walk through the book of Exodus. This is actually chapters 32 through 34. So the kids piece take on big chunks of verses, just like Pastor Dan likes to give me on Sundays to try to read to you guys so I get better at reading out loud. But I'm not going to read you all of those because that is a lot of words. It's a lot of words. But we're going to kind of roll through verses or chapters 32 through 34, and we're going to kind of look at the full scene of what was going on, kind of look at the slips and trips and falls that the Israelites and us make in these different parts of life, even when God is working with us. And so the first piece of the story, we hear that, you know, it was pretty clear that God had told the Israelites certain things to do, certain things not to do, and it was pretty clear what the to-dos and not to-dos were, right? But in the moment, we fail to obey God's word. The Israelites failed to obey God's word. It says in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 2 to 3, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other small g gods before me." I like pointing out the big and the small g's. It makes me feel cooler inside. Small g God, like not nearly as cool as our God. "But you should have no other gods before me." It was clear. It was clear. We knew what God had laid out. They knew what the rules were. But see, in that moment, the Israelites, they were worried. They were worried. They were kind of clouded judgment. They didn't quite know what was going on. They kind of did, but kind of didn't, and they wanted it. They wanted it. They wanted it now. And you know what? They wanted to just kind of bend the rules a little bit. We need something to worship. We need something to worship, Aaron. Give us something to worship, please. We're so excited. Like, we need something. We can't wait 5 minutes, right? We can't wait a day or two. We need it now. And see, the Israelites, they were so anxious that they just kind of flexed the rules. They were like, we can just make our own thing to worship. We can make our own thing to look at. We can be excited about our own thing, right? And so Aaron, hook us up. And so Aaron did it. He did it. He built the golden calf for the Israelites to worship. See, a lot of times in life when we're busy, when we're moving nonstop, when this mic's sliding on my head, we completely lose focus of what's in front of us. We completely lose the words that God has told us, the promises that he's made to us, the things he's told us to do and not to do because he had created us and he knows us better than we know ourselves. We completely miss all that because of the chaos and the confusion, because of the busyness, because of the things we want, the things we want to control. And so we'll distrust God. We'll fail. I just gave you a snapshot of what's to come. We'll fail to obey what he says. We'll toss them aside and we'll say, you know what, I think we got this, I think I got this real quick. I'm just going to ignore that rule for right now. We're just going to go this way, right? I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to tithe, but you know what, my money's pretty tight and I've got a lot of things I need to do and Christmas is coming, so I'm going to set it aside. I'll get back to you later, right? I know I'm supposed to be kind, but this person's all up in my face all the time. I'm going to hit him. Maybe not hit him. I'm going to yell back at him. I'm going to get angry at him. I know these small people are crazy, and you want me to love them and take care of them and teach them the right thing, but I just can't help it. I'm just going to explode because they need to see who's in charge, right? I speak all these things from truth, my friends, from experience. It's the cloudiness. It's just the busy and the chaos. We push the rules aside, and we look at God, and we say, you know what? I don't want to hear you for this thing. I don't want to obey you in this piece right now. I'll get back to you. We'll see you. And the Israelites did the exact same thing. We don't have time to wait. I need something right now. I'm just going to worship something different. I'm just going to take this in my own hands. And so, you know, the Israelites like just blatantly did it. But see, sometimes for us, we bend it. It's a little bit easier to go, okay, you know, I know it's a 10%. How about like a 7.5? And then I'll just keep this other little bit on the side so that I can get some cheeseburgers this week.
Yeah.
Oh, and P.S., if you're new to North Valley Church, we started a Daniel fast last week. So there's quite a few people floating around here that haven't had meat or added sugar alcohol, different other types of things. And so stomachs are growling. People are sort of distracted. And so I'm going to keep bringing up food, just poking the bear a little bit. So be prepared for that. The golden calf, the Chick-fil-A, the beef, you see where I'm going? Okay, all right, good. So I figured I'd just catch you up. If people seem a little irritable, that's not normal. They're just praying, all right? There's a lot of prayer going on in this service today. There's a lot of prayer going on. And so the Israelites kind of chose to go the opposite direction. They wanted something to worship right now, but we tend to bend the rules. Like, I don't have to listen to it fully. I can flex it a little bit. God can't be that mad, right? And so that's the first little piece of what we saw kind of slip, and that's where we tend to have failures ourselves. We tend to fall and we slip. We choose not to obey God's word. The second piece I pulled out of this several few verses and this really cool story is that the Israelites and we tend to distrust God's purposes. They tend to distrust God's purposes. In Exodus 32:1, it says, "When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, 'Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him.'" The Israelites didn't trust what was going on. They didn't trust that what Moses was doing was working in their favor. They didn't trust that there was a process going on between God and Moses. And honestly, I don't think they knew that God or that Moses was up there kind of battling God a little bit to save them. Like, did you catch that piece of the story? They threw it in the story. Like, Moses is up there like, "Hey, please don't just wipe them all out. They're just not very smart. Like, they're doing goofy things down there, but remember, these are your people, right? Remember, God." It's not like he needed the reminder. Moses was scared for the Israelites, right? But the Israelites chose to distrust what was going on, what God's plan was, what God's purpose was. They didn't like his timing. They didn't like God's timing. It was taking too long. You know, so instead of waiting for his plan and his process, they wanted to take it into their own hands. You know, it's taking too long. I'm just going to go ahead and just jump out there. And a lot of times we do that same thing. We look and we forget that what God is doing takes his time for us to get ready sometimes. You know, we see that job, we see that title, we see that position, we see that dollar figure, we see that big house, and we're like, you know what? I think God wants me there. I think it would be good for me, so I'm not going to wait on his timing to see whether this works or not. I'm just going to go. You know what? I'll leave this one behind, and I'll jump up a step, and then I'll be ready for him when he comes, finds me. I'll be here already doing it. God will show up and be like, "Wow, I'm so proud of you. You already got to the job that I had for you, I set aside," you know? Or maybe, you know, it's like, I just really want to get to, in the society, you know, I want to be up there on the chain, and so the best way for me to get there is just to go get it. I'm just going to jump out there and grab it by the horns. You know, I can't wait. I kind of want to do it now. You know, time's sort of ticking. Got to go. And so we just jump out and go. And see, the Israelites failed to wait for God's timing. And a lot of times in our lives, we fail to listen and to wait on God. We fail and we tend to take control and we just kind of go with it. Now, I'm not giving you like an excuse to sit back and do nothing, because that's not good either, and I tend to do that one. You know what, God, I think you want me to be here. 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I wasn't like, "God, I think you're calling me to be a pastor, so I'm going to go do it." I was like, I think I hear what you're saying, but I think you got the wrong guy, and I think you're joking. Like, you want me to do something else. I'm not down that road. I'm not up that game. That's not my style. I'm just going to sit back here and wait for you to make it happen, right? And I just waste time. So I'm not saying you always take control and go. Sitting back and doing nothing is the same thing, just in a different way. A lot of times we don't trust what God intends to do. We don't trust that what he's going to do, what his timing is, what his plan is going to work. We don't take the time to allow him space to work. And sometimes we don't trust what he says because we don't think we can pull it off. The Israelites took matters into their own hands. "Hey, Bean. Hey. Lainey, can you play down there? I don't want you to knock stuff over. Go down that way. On the carpet. Thank you. My kid. Just in case you were wondering. Not afraid of stages. I don't know where they get that from. We sometimes fail to trust God in his plans and his purposes, just as the Israelites did. We also sometimes tend to forget God's grace. We tend to forget God's grace. See, in the story with the Israelites, in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 2, Aaron answers to the people. They were asking him, give us something to worship, right? He answers to them. He says, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and he made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Is that what it says? Smeared on my thing. Fashioning it with a tool, yeah. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Hooray! See, the Israelites had just defeated another army or several with God's help. They plundered the gold. They took all the gold from the other people. It was okay. They were told to. They gathered it up. They put it on, and they were rocking fresh gear, right? They were shiny. They were happy. They were excited. And in the moment, they completely forgot that where that came from wasn't them. They didn't do that. That came from God. That was God that fought that army. That was God that allowed them to take over that. And the things that they collected weren't their own, but were God's. See, they kind of forgot that God showed them grace. They forgot that God's grace was on them in the battles, that they had gotten the things, and they took the credit for them, and they took the items and used them for themselves. I'm blending into my next one, but we'll get there too. They took the credit for what had happened. They took the things off their sons and daughters, and they cast it into something else to worship made by their own hands. See, a lot of times we like to convince ourselves that our success came from our own work and not from the work of other people. Or not from the work of other people. Not from the work of God. They think it came from that. We think it came from us. We like to stand up on the pedestal and we're like, yes, I'm the boss. Yes, I've got the status. Boom, I got the keys, right? Boom, bank account's loaded. I've got the stuff. I did so well. I can stand up in front of people and say, you know what? Look at all the cool stuff I did for myself. I got this. Because it makes us feel good. We like that confidence boost. But see, the problem is when we do that, we're taking all the grace that God had given us, all the things that we had no need, we weren't even capable of getting for ourselves. That it was just something poured out from God, from Him, to us. We take those things and we go, yes, I acquired it. I got this. And we look at God and we go, man, you didn't have a part in any of it, right? You're still back there. You do your thing back there, up there on the mountain in the smoky fog stuff, right? You take care of that. I got this. I'm the bomb. And so the Israelites, they took the things that God had given them and they cast them into something of their own hands so that they had something that they wanted. A lot of times, we take the things that God gives us, we spin them and use them for our pleasure, for our ways. We use them so that we feel better about ourselves. We use them so that we feel like we're better than somebody else. And sometimes we use them so that we look and feel a certain way. We use it to fill the void that we have inside because of other issues. See, God doesn't want us to forget His grace. God gives us these things so that we can honor Him with them. And that goes into the last one. The Israelites failed to use, and we fail to use our gifts for God's glory. We don't deserve the things He gives us. We don't. We don't deserve the money. We don't deserve the talent. We don't deserve the knowledge that He gives us. It's all a gift from Him for Him. And when we get focused on the chaos, when we get focused on the craziness of our world, when we get focused on the things that are in our face and are shiny and pretty, when we get focused on ourselves, we fail to use the things that God has given us to honor Him. It says in Exodus, verse 32, chapter 2 again, Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters were wearing and bring them to me. This is where that bridge was between these two I was talking about. See, God's grace, he gives us these things that we don't deserve. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be full of joy. He wants us to love, and he wants us to love him. And he wants us to glorify him. And so by giving giving us these tools and these different things, we're able to better worship and serve. We're able to show others who our loving God is. But if we don't use him for those things, we are taking the plunder and burning it on ourselves for no reason. See, we too, just like the Israelites, can use our gifts from God to honor ourselves, to self-satisfy, and instead of using it for his glory. Now, the last little bit, I always like to take it and kind of look at how the story of the golden calf applies to you and I today. We've been doing it throughout. But I want to remind you, and I want to remind the small people, that golden calves aren't always statues. A golden calf doesn't mean a golden calf. A golden calf can be all kinds of different things in our world today. We worship a lot of junk. We worship a lot of stuff that isn't God, but we make it gods of our lives. We worship things to help give us joy, to help us to feel more loved. We worship different things, all because we're worried about filling the void that only God himself can fill. See, the golden calf in our world, in today's world, looks a lot different. It looks like all of these kind of things. The golden calf can be Netflix. The golden calf can be the golden phone. The golden calf can be a stack of hundos. The golden calf can be a pile of candy. The golden calf can be a beautiful, shining platform for us to stand on. Our golden calf that we grab a hold of to worship ahead of God can be any of these things and a pile of others, because our world is focused on us. We're focused on pleasing ourselves and not allowing God to fill the void for us to worship. See, we grab a hold of all these things. We watch all the Netflix so we can indulge ourselves in a life that isn't real. We grab a hold of the phones and pay attention to all the notifications so that the dinging keeps us awake, keeps us paying attention. We grab all the money we can because we know that we can buy stuff with it and it makes us feel better. We eat all the candy we can because, it tastes so good. Why not? And we stand on the platform and on the pedestals because it makes us feel tall, it makes us feel strong, it makes people look up to us. And that's what we love. We want to feel loved and strong and tall and looked up to. We grab these things in our own lives all while God is working in the background for something better. And we lose the focus in the chaos of the world. We lose the worship of God to put it on all of these things. Now, my final dig for you, lovely Daniel fasting people. We worship the Almighty Bacon. How many times do you hear people talk about bacon? Doesn't have to be bacon, but food. Look how wonderful that looks. Crunchy, crispy. We worship all of these things. See, my friends, today and moving forward, as my lovely worship team joins me, because I told them when the bacon comes up, they can come up. As we move forward in our chaotic world, in our world in which it's always trying to grab our attention, distract us from what's there and what's important, I want to encourage you, and we need to encourage ourselves, and we need to tear down the golden calves. We need to obey. We need to trust. We need to remember his grace, and we need to use his gifts for his glory. Now, there's one little piece in the story that's huge that kind of rolled through. I didn't have a hard time tying it in, but I wanted to make sure that I brought this piece up. See, in the story, it talks about Moses as the mediator. When you look back in the Old Testament, prior to Jesus used people to work with people. Jesus used Moses to relay his message to the Israelites. Moses was the guy in the middle, helping things out. But see, as New Testament livers, as those who have lived through the birth and the life and the death of Jesus, we have an entirely better mediator. We have a guy who works for us, who works with us, who knows us better than anybody else. We have a Jesus that didn't exist in Moses' time. Not didn't exist, but wasn't there in Moses' time. See, the Israelites tried to follow the best leader they could. And he had flaws. He struggled, but he did a good job. We have a better guy to follow. Our God lived, died, and rose again, and he is our mediator. If you don't know who Jesus is, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never thought of even having a relationship with Jesus, if a relationship with Jesus to you just looks like one single prayer, if it doesn't feel like a relationship, I encourage you today to think about that. To spend some time in what worshiping our God looks like. To spend some time praying about what worshiping our God should be. And maybe what are some of the idols that are in between and taking your focus from worshiping our God. If you have questions about what it's like to know Jesus, what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus, what it's like, what it means to be saved, if you have any of those questions or any other question, we have an awesome bank in which we put lovely email questions and a really, really, really smart guy answers them and will respond back to you and meet with you and talk to you in way better and cooler words than I do. Super groovy, awesome. His name is PD. And you can email any of those questions, or if you're looking for somebody to talk to about this, you can email them to info, at NVC, that stands for North Valley Church, MD, like Maryland, .org. You can email them to info at nvcmd.org, and PD will get back to you. I promise he'll meet with you. He will do his best to answer your questions and start to lead you down those steps. If you have any questions and you feel confident and comfortable talking to me, I'll do my best to help you out as well. As we close out our service, I want to pray for us today. I want to pray for us about all those things that get in the way, about all those things that block our vision, who interrupt our worship with God, all those things that jump in our faces all day long, every day. And I want to pray that God helps us tear them down, that we burn up the golden calves, that we ignore the bacon, right? That we avoid the platform, that the phone stops ringing. I want to pray for all of those things for you guys today. So let me pray as we get ready to close out our service today. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for what you've given us. We thank you for the story of Moses, Father, and the Israelites. We thank you for what the Israelites did so that we could learn. Father, we just pray for those things that interrupt our time. We pray for those things that keep us from focusing on you and allow us to focus on ourselves. Father, we pray for all the distractions of the world. We pray that you're able to just separate those from us, even for a brief period of time, so we're able to see you clearer, so we're able to hear you better, and so we're able to worship you in the way we know we should. Father, we just thank you for our time together this morning. We pray over what remains of our day and what's coming next. We pray over the small people who've been having a good time here in our service today. We just thank you for what you've given us and what you've given North Valley. We praise you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with us?